Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 22nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 11, the third paragraph, that begins with, "But my friend sat before me," ending with, "Better than the best he had ever known." And we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Juanice N., who will be reading the 12 steps. Janet E. will be reading the 12 traditions. And the readers of our text are Don B., Christina M., and Dion R. The share ID for Tuesday, June 21st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 19,091. 19091. And this morning's Wednesday, June 22nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 19,097. That's 19097. Our newcomer greeter for today is Lois P., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Juanice N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Juanice.
Good morning, everyone. This is Juanice N. from Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater, and this is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Juanice N. And Janet E., if you'd read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Yes. Good morning. Janet E., compulsive overeater, recovered in Idaho. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one authority, ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. Centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature. Then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 11, the third paragraph that begins with, "But my friend sat before me," ending in, "Better than the best he had ever known." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And good morning, Don B., if you would get us started, please.
Good morning. "But my friend sat before me, and he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up. Like myself, he had admitted complete defeat. Then he had, in effect, been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known." Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. And it is so great to be here today. Yes, this is such a powerful, powerful paragraph. His human will had failed, and he says that God has done for him what he could not do for himself. Oh, man, just so speaks to me. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, I started in the rooms back when I was 18 years old. So that was back in the late 1970s. And it took me almost 35 years in the rooms before I was able to get abstinent, more than 3 days here, 7 days there, 21 days once or twice in almost 35 years. So for those of you out there who have been struggling for a long time and think there is no hope for you, trust me, there is definitely hope. There's tremendous hope. So finally, 10 years ago, I was able to realize to the core of my being that I am going to die in this disease. And there is nothing ahead for me but a lot more pain, a lot more suffering, and an early death. Or I need to clearly identify my alcoholic foods and put them down 100%. And grab hold of this program with all the enthusiasm that a drowning person grabs a life preserver and work it like my life depends on it, because it absolutely does. And that's what I did. And all thanks be to God, it's been 10 years now. I've been abstaining and doing so happily. My life has been transformed. I am down over 120 pounds. I don't know how many pounds actually, because I stopped weighing myself. I just kept eating. But I'm down to a normal BMI. I don't need to lose any more weight. And the miracle is that I'm abstaining and doing so happily. I'm also a mother. I have 4 children. 3 of them have autism. the two that are a little higher functioning, one very, very severe. The two that are higher functioning also have mental illness. My husband is a cancer survivor and is on a feeding tube. But the truth of the matter is that I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams. Not because my circumstances have changed, but because my attitude about those circumstances has been transformed by the working of the steps and by the power of my higher power that has done for me what I never, ever could have done for myself. So there is so much hope for you. There is so much hope. Stay. Don't leave before the miracle happens. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Don B., for getting us started this morning. Thank you. Okay, we're on page 11, the third paragraph. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Wendy,
Jerry M.
in Colorado.
Okay, I heard Wendy, and I heard someone in Colorado.
Joyce. A in Colorado.
Joyce A.
Robin B.
Kimberly B.
Sherry M.
Maggie M.
Got Robin T.
Okay, so hold on, everyone. Who is that last person that came in after Sherry? Was it Maggie or something?
Yep, Maggie.
Kimberly B.
Okay, hold on. Okay, I'm going to tell you who I have. I have, and I didn't get initials, so you can give them to me in your state if you'd like when your name's up. I have Wendy, Joyce, A in Colorado, Eileen, Robin, Kimberly, Sherry, and Maggie. So let's stop with that. That's a great lineup. So go ahead, please, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, where it says God had done for him what he couldn't do for himself. And I'm learning to be more reliant on God, you know, to try and maintain an attitude of surrender all throughout the day, to allow him to do for me what I can't do, you know, instead of striving to do things myself, independent of God. You know, I can let go of wanting to use God to accomplish my purposes and surrender to letting him use me for his purposes, you know. And when I find myself drifting away from that surrender, you know, like when I'm caught up in and distracted, you know, by the affairs of this world, you know, and the circumstances around me, I can turn to him for help, you know, instead of withdrawing in shame, you know, because I can't maintain this connection perfectly. You know, he knows I can't, you know, and he has given me his spirit to help me, you know, do for me what I can't do for myself. And I just have to turn to him and ask for help. And, you know, this life of surrender, of doing God's will and not mine, is just a much better life than I ever dreamed. You know, he offers me contentment instead of striving for more. And he gives me acceptance instead of resentment. And he helps me be of service and helpful to others instead of being, you know, selfishly focused on my wants and my needs. And, you know, he offers me serenity and trust in his omnipotence, you know, instead of fear of the future. And it's a beautiful life. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. in Arizona. And Joyce A., go ahead, followed by Eileen.
This is Joyce A. in Colorado. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, gosh, this is a powerful paragraph. It took me 23 years to do the 12 steps. I don't recommend that to anyone. It was way too long. But every relapse I had pointed out to me that I was not following the directions properly. I was not trusting God. I was not making outreach calls. I was trying to still do it on my own, but with some direction. I pick and choose what I liked. It wasn't until this last relapse that I finally got my head clear. It took me 3 days to get out of the food screaming at me and 2 weeks to get out of the fog that comes with this disease, and to really delve into the steps, delve into my responsibility, make my calls, listen to meetings, be helpful to my other human beings. And I truly believe that I have been taken from that scrap heap because I was on my way to dying. I could very well have eaten myself to death. And I'm in a life now better than I have ever, ever known. My mind is clear now. There's no more resentments in it. There's no more anger. There's no more fear. There's no more voices telling me to go eat. It's quiet. It's the first time in my life I've ever been able to sit and meditate in quiet. And it's a miracle to me. Every day is a miracle and a gift from God, and I thank Him profusely for it. I reach out to my fellows. I reach out to newcomers. I reach out to sponsors every day just to say, now I'm sponsoring. I might need your help. Can I put you on my God list? And I have never had anyone come and say, no, I'm too busy. So the response that I get from the people in this program, my total surrender to God and to His will, are the things that have totally made a difference in my recovery. And I could not have done it without you people. I could not have done it without the OA program. I could not have done it without Bill W. I am so eternally grateful for what I have, and I never, ever want to go back. Praise God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joyce A. And Eileen, if you would please share with us, followed by Robin.
Sure. Good morning. This is Eileen D. as in David from Maryland, and I am a recovered compulsive reader, and I'm very blessed to be able to share and hear all the wonderful shares. I'm quoting what my friend sat before me, and he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. And I remember when I was just, in my late 20s, I was 12-step into the program. When I moved to Washington, D.C., and I was just lost and binging. And a young lady noticed my pain. I made some flippant comment. Before you knew it, I had been invited to a meeting. And that was her opening. After I went to the meeting, and I was just felt like all the concrete walls of this new city had come down, and I walked into this haven of security, with people who understood me. And she told me that God had done for her what she could not do for herself. She was a beautiful looking woman who had been through a lot, had many years, she told me, of her story. And she ended up becoming my sponsor for 9 years. And I was abstinent for those 9 years. And then my human will took over and I thought I was cured. Oh my goodness, how silly. And then 20 years later, I was able to once more, you know, say, I can't do this, God. I need you. And I went back to program. And then just a few years ago, I became abstinent by not of my own will. Oh, no, it was the gift. You know, people say in the program, stay until the miracle happens. And I didn't understand that until it happened. And then I was in such awe of the power of the program and just persevering. It wasn't on my watch. I had admitted complete defeat. I had given up. And then I was raised very much from the dead. I am now a normal weight, have never been so blessed and healthy. And it's due to you guys, my fellows. It's to God, the God whom I love. And I just wanted to share and encourage those, you know, whatever the journey you're on, don't give up. It's just worth the wait. And it's it's really a miracle, remarkable miracle to be part of the fellowship. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Eileen D. in Maryland. And Robin, you are up, followed by Kimberly. Go ahead, Robin.
Hi, thanks so much, Kathleen, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And, boy, this is just perfect. It's just what I needed today so much. So thank you so much for this meeting. You know, his human will had failed, and God had done for him what he could not do for himself. And he admitted complete defeat and literally raised from the dead. And that was my experience with the food. And I feel like I'm going through, oh, my gosh, hitting bottom about I starred on Broadway for 15 years in my 20s and 30s. And we're in Costa Rica, and I'm 63. And they started a new theater, and I got cast as one of the leads. And it has been mayhem and like kind of summer stuff, but not that, more like summer camp, and just really challenging. And I've done so many 10 steps, and I just feel so powerless over people, places, and things. And I just get to practice everything I know regarding the program every day, every minute with this. And, you know, we've been doing 12-hour days every day, and no one gets paid. And it's just, it's been really insane. And I just literally get to focus on God, work my program, keep working my steps, reaching out to people, and this too shall pass, and really showing up and using my gifts for good in the way God intended, and everything happens for a reason, and I would be so grateful for prayers. The show starts tomorrow until Sunday, and my husband's also in it, and it's just been, I just get to focus on God, and just show up and be a blessing, and be the walking big book. And so I just really am grateful for prayers, and God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. in Costa Rica. And Kimberly, please share with us, and you're followed by Sherry.
Hi, this is Kimberly B., and I'm in Oregon. And I am very grateful to be on the line today. And I'm fairly new to the Vision Program, although not to OA. And I love this paragraph. I've been working through step one with my sponsor for the last, we've been taking the big book paragraph by paragraph and dissecting it. And she's such a fabulous sponsor. And I'm really finding out the truth of this program because of her. And as I think about this admitted complete defeat, I'm still in that process. I mean, I believe it, but then I have the moments when I think I can do it. And I just, as I listen to these other shares and as I read this paragraph, I'm so grateful that there's hope. I can't believe that there's hope because, as many of you may have experienced, I've had years of feeling that there's no hope, that I'm incurable and that there's no chance. But I do believe in my higher power, and I do believe in Vision Program and in what I'm learning in these meetings and what I'm learning from all of you. And I'm just extremely, extremely grateful for this opportunity that I've been given by my higher power to find out about the Vision meeting and to have people who outreach to me and people that I can reach out to that understand what it is that I'm dealing with because they're dealing with it too. And I definitely believe that it's God-led for sure. That's my opinion. And again, this is Kimberly in Oregon. Happy to receive outreach calls. I'm on the list on the computer. Thank you so much. Have a great day. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kimberly B. in Oregon. And Sherry, you're up, followed by Maggie.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. Thanks so much for your service. This is Sherry M., gratefully recovered today in California. What a great paragraph. I'm so grateful to participate today in my recovery and to have heard also the opening share. Thank you so much for that's my experience. My experience is that the steps 1 to 12 did not work for me to solve this problem until I did step 0, which was surrender and become entirely abstinent. And once I did that, I have been rocketed into a dimension of being absolutely free from a seemingly hopeless state of mind. and body, and it was only because I was out of ideas and I accepted the spiritual kit right before my feet. And unfortunately, most people don't get it, and most people end up dead. And my sister, you know, tried to take her life on Sunday, on Father's Day, with alcohol and pills because she's one of us, and couldn't see, you know, couldn't grasp on in the program that we have to surrender everything. And so it's such a great reminder that if I don't surrender continually, everything, surrender through the steps and do life a different way, which is through the 12 steps, that God does not save me until I do surrender. And how do I know that? Because I've been in Overeaters Anonymous for 16 years doing it my way, didn't work, found Vision for You, and now I've been recovered for 2.5 because I surrendered. So I'm so grateful, but for the grace of God, go I. And I'm so grateful to know there's another way out. And just like what was shared before, I mean, going through, you know, getting ready to get on the road right now to move out of state. I've got this, I've got that. And I'm sorry, I have to go. My husband's interrupting me, everybody. And so God bless him, change me. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Sherry M. in California. And before we take you, Maggie, just a reminder, we're on page 11, the third paragraph, and I'll be taking some more names after Maggie. So please share with us, Maggie.
Hi, this is Maggie M., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, California. And reading this for the first time ever, I have so much empathy and compassion for Ebby, actually. Because I am a new sponsor and have started working with other compulsive overeaters. And I'm seeing that oftentimes, like me, people who are in the food, they don't know that their human will has failed. And they don't know that they're dead on the inside. I certainly didn't know. I didn't have these same conditions as Ebby. Like, doctors hadn't pronounced me incurable. Society wasn't about to lock me up. I wasn't facing those conditions. So it took a lot for me to admit complete defeat. And I feel so grateful that that the conditions in my life were such that I finally did that. But if somebody had said, Maggie, you're on the scrap heap, like, I don't think I would have believed them. And now I'm seeing that same thing with other compulsive overeaters. It doesn't work for me to say, you're on the scrap heap right now. Like, you're dead. You can have a life better than you've ever known. There needs to be something in them. They just need to be ready, even if doctors hadn't pronounced them incurable and society's not about to lock them up. They need to acknowledge that their own way isn't working, and they need to be ready to try God's way. And it's really hard. I'm 29 years old. So I work with a lot of young people, and I find that young people in particular seem to have a lot more of their own willpower to try, or a lot more eating to do. And I'm powerless over people, places, and things. I can't make somebody recover any more than Ebby could make Bill recover. But it's hard to watch. I really want other people to experience the same level of freedom that I do. Like, today I'm neutral around food. I'm neutral around weight, like the number on the scale. I wasn't one of those people that went all the way up to 300 or 400 pounds, but the insanity in my head around the same 20 pounds that I would gain and lose and gain and lose, it was so, so painful. And I don't have that anymore. It's gone, almost completely gone. The insanity around exercise has been mostly lifted from me. And I just want to pass that on to other people, and other young people in particular, because we have this amazing opportunity not to spend, you know, decades more living in the insanity of the food and the insanity of the weight. I am an available sponsor, and I'm located in California, so I'd love for people to reach out to me, and I just want to pass on what was freely given to me, And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Maggie M. in California. We're on page 11 this morning, the third paragraph, but my friend sat before me, ending in better than the best he had ever known. And if you have not shared in the last 3 days and you'd like to share, I'll take your name. I have Dion R.
Elaine B.
Sorry,
Kathy Jo P.
Was that Kathy Jo P?
Correct.
Okay.
Darla P.
Was it Starla or Darla?
Starlet P.
Starlet, okay. Starlet P. Anyone else? Okay, we'll stop with those four. So I have Dion R, Elaine B, Kathy Jo P, and Darlet P. So go ahead, please, Dion R.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Dion R. from Ohio. Really grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Thank you, Vision for You group this morning, especially the lead share, reminded me there's hope. There's hope. That's what I get is hope. Hope, hope, hope. And that, I heard it in each one of you shares and our beginning of hope, but that hope that we can get through anything, that was powerful to me, because it says his human will has failed. Doctors have pronounced him incurable. Whew. He had admitted complete, that's what I had to do. You know, yeah, society, all that, but the part right here that really gets me, then he had in effect been raised from the dead. That happened to me literally, spiritually, and physically. I was raised from it. When the doctor told me, my heart stopped for a while, and I just say, wow. Before I went in the operating room and all, I kept saying, God, I'm yours and I trust you. Hey, whatever. And so that has given me strength and courage no matter what I'm going through. I grab hold of one of you guys in my program of recovery. I could walk through anything because if no one's around. You guys showed me how to grab hold to that power that's greater than myself, that knew my heart instead of my head. He knew my heart instead of my intentions, you know, and that gives me the hope I would love to continue to just be and share it with others by me just being. Because I was raised. I was a doubter. I was all that. Locked up. Everything, you know, and today I could walk amongst the best of us as a free human being. You know, because God, again, judged my heart, why I in the world judge my intentions. I mean, my actions. And with that, I'll pass. Keep coming back. We do get better. We do recover. And with that, I'll pass, Kathleen.
Thank you, Dion R. in Ohio. And Elaine B., please share with us, followed by Kathy Jo P. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. Thanks for your service, Kathleen. And what great shares today. I love this paragraph. I love that, you know, I had to come up with a confession of God that was bigger than the one that I knew when I was, you know, in such a horrible relapse that my husband wrote me a letter and said, you've taken on a new mother and it's food. And divorce isn't an option for us, but we're really separately in this house because that's, you know. So I did 90 meetings in 90 days, and on day 45, somebody gave me a number for a Vision for You. The first qualification I heard was a special edition entitled, they call this plain insanity. And when she talked about the food, man, I heard it put in a way I'd never heard, even though I had been in OA for years, trying to get through the steps. But I heard something in that, it's like, these people know what I'm talking about. And the very next day I heard somebody share, we used to get our ease and comfort from food. Now we get our ease and comfort from God. And that gave me hope because I had a relationship with God, and it had some miraculous things happen in my past. But this food had me. It had me. I couldn't find ease and comfort. I didn't know how to deal with my food. But not just that. As I came into life living these steps one day at a time, I found out that God wanted to do for me what I couldn't do for myself, not just with the food. He wanted to do it with my character defects, my character defenses, the ways that I was acting and reacting that weren't working for me. You know, I was trying to run my life on self-will. My human aid had failed. My human will had failed. Everything that I tried to do and manage and everything, and, you know, in those days, what could look like a successful life, it wasn't doing it for me, and I wasn't really successful. And it's amazing how my motives have changed and my attitude have changed, but it wasn't me doing it. It's God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, how to show up in my relationships, how to show up at my job, how to follow. On page 100, it says the dictates of a higher power. And it says when we do that, we will live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what our present circumstances are. So here, Abby is given Bill hope when he is hopeless. And I want to give you hope, because if you're struggling with the food, God can help. He'll do for you what you can't do for yourself. If you're struggling with relationships or default settings of blame or shame or, you know, self-harm or whatever it is, judging, God can help you with that too. And God can guide you into the best life you've ever known. Already I am there, and you can be too. So I'm so happy to be here doing it with you and hearing your shares, and I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. in Massachusetts. And Kathy Jo P., please share with us, and you're followed by Dylan.
Good morning, Kathy Jo P., recovering in Minneapolis Central Time. Happy to be here. What I'm thinking about today is how so many people have been Ebby for me, and I have been Ebby for others. And my responsibility is to shine the light, carry the message, be the Ebby of hope and possibility, helping people live rather than die so that I can live. And I came back into the rooms about 12 years ago and got entirely abstinent from my alcoholic food 6 years ago when I came to these rooms. And slowly but surely some eating behaviors crept in, alcoholic food behaviors. And ever since January 17, I have been weighing and measuring every bite. I came to the realization that was necessary for me. And it feels wonderful to be clean and back on the straight and narrow. And a part of that, again, is the Ebbies that have helped me along the way. And knowing that it's the only way that I can connect to God is to be 100% clean of my alcoholic foods and behaviors. And I was gearing up to my fourth step when my life fell apart and I learned that my husband was active in his sex addiction. And as of yesterday, I hired a lawyer and am going forward with a divorce. And all of this is something I could never fathom before. And this morning, I talked to one of my Ebbies who knew me before I got abstinent. And she said, when I met you, you were unemployed and weighed over 300 pounds. And I just am so grateful to be where I am today and connected to God and all of you. And let's continue to carry the light and be Ebby for each other. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. in Minnesota. And Darlette P., after Darlette, we will take, I have time for a few more names, and just a reminder, we're on page 11, the third paragraph. So go ahead, Darlette P.
Okay, this is Darlette P. from Illinois. Thank you for your service and everyone on the line. I am grateful today to be where I am in this program because I know that God has gotten me where I am today. I've not done it on my own. I still struggle sometimes, and I know that when I struggle, it's my selfishness. I still sometimes want what I want when I want it, and I still sometimes get into that food. So I am not 100%. I don't think I'll ever be 100%. I realize I'll never be cured of this illness, my addiction for food. I have to continue to grow, continue to pray, and ask God's help. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Thank you, Darlette P. in Illinois. And who else? We have time for a few more shares on this page 11, third paragraph, if you haven't shared in the past few days.
Polly Q.
Who would like to share? Is that Polly?
Kim O.
Yes.
From Alabama.
Polly Q.
Polly Q. Kim O.
Nigel, Massachusetts. Nancy L.
Who came in before Nancy? Okay. Okay, then let's go with Polly Q, Kim O, and Nancy L, and hopefully we'll have time for all of you. So go ahead, Polly Q.
Hi, it's Polly Q, recovering in Northern California, and thank you for your service, moderator. I am, I could not do this for myself, but I thought I could, you know. It's hard for me to admit that my human will failed. It's not now. Well, no, I think it is every day, because that is a hardwired pattern in my brain. I will. And I get, I think that's just a human characteristic, and it's the one that we will always be, I think, in my experience in the program and in and out of these rooms, we will always be taking it back to a higher power. I will always be surrendering my will. I have to do it every day. I do it in the 10th step. Because if I don't, man, my disease is powerful. That ego-based thinking is hardwired. I will. And then I'll have to eat over my will. That's just how it works. I hate it working like that. Oh, my gosh. I thought I'd come in, work these steps, zippity-doo-dah through them, and I have many times in two different programs, and it would all be great. It would all be great. Now I've got it. And I did. Every time I worked those steps, I did have it. But then I stopped working those steps. Then I just went to meetings. Then I just, called my sponsor once a week. Then I just talked to people here and there. And I weighed and measured. I did all that stuff. I did it for years. And it was white-knuckling abstinence. And eventually it failed me because the disease is progressive. So my will bring me to my knees. And that's what's happened here. Bill is on his knees. And God sends Eddie. A higher power sends Eddie, whatever you choose to call it. That is at odds or is it God? And that's what happens. So when I'm on my knees, I look, I reach out for an Eddie. I have to do that now. I have to get in the habit of doing that. Because otherwise, I am going to be subject to my will. As soon as I get on my knees, my higher power, oh my gosh, my amazing higher power, sends all you Ebbies to me, lots of you. And man, I surrender and I'm on my way again. And I do it every day. I have to do it every day. And that's the gig. That's how it works. Anything less, I eat, because I'm a food addict and food addiction is the most stubborn. So thanks for letting me share. I hope you all have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Polly Q in California. And Kim O, please share with us, followed by Nancy O.
Hi, I'm Kim O from Alabama. I'm a compulsive overeater. This paragraph, the first thing I thought of, where God did for him what he could not do for himself, his human will had failed. Like, I'm beyond human aid. And I see the perfect example of when I found this meeting of who my Ebby was and who my higher power sent. And it was through the voices of this meeting, of a vision. And to be able, when I was at my lowest, or you know, lowest at that point, to say, I can't do this on my own. I'm desperate. I don't know how many more days I can start over on day one and fail, you know. And I left my number. And I have never experienced what I did by having the courage to allow others to be able to 12-step and to listen and for my higher power to do for me what I couldn't do, and just how powerful that has been. And I truly want what that last sentence says. I want a life better than the best ever known. That, and for me, the only times that I've experienced or come close to that is when I'm surrendered, when I recognize it is so much beyond me. It's being of service. It's making those calls. It's either being an Ebby or allowing others to be for me. And I'm very, very grateful for this program and the changes that I have seen in my life. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Kim O. in Alabama. And Nancy O., you have about 2 minutes. If you could do your share in 2 minutes, that would be great. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you. I'll talk fast. Thank you so much, and welcome newcomers. I spent 35 years in rooms, but they weren't OA. They were in pay and way. And in those days, the leader would stand up with a huge picture, like a poster-sized picture, to her side of her before picture. And there she was in front of me year after year, who many different leaders, thin and beautiful, and I'm going to get it what she's got. And, you know, and I would muster up my strength and lay down my money year after year after year. And I didn't make it like they did. I wanted to. I wanted what they had. I did what they said to do most of the time, but then that old ferocious craving would be more than I could stand, and I would go back into the food. Long story short, I finally went in the last time, weighing in at 216.5 pounds. I managed to get off quite a lot of weight, but within a couple months, I was right back in it, and that's when I was suicidal, because I just thought I finally had hit my rock bottom, and that's when I thought to myself, I wonder if OA is still around. I had gone in once or twice when I was 26 years old. So there it was in the Yellow Pages. If you guys remember those, got in the Yellow Pages, started my first meeting. And now I can say God has done for me every day what I could not and cannot do for myself. And I'm so, so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. And thank you, everyone, for your beautiful shares this morning. So let's see, we are going to now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Christina M., if you would please read A Vision for You.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Christina M., compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. This is page 164 in the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.